97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
We're working on a package of legislation that will reduce premiums for all Americans, not just 7% of them. And I've been talking to every one of these colleagues in the top districts about that. So stay tuned. There's more to come.
Capital Beat.
All right, we have Congressman Eric Burleson on the phone with us this morning on the Capitol beat, and of course with the 7th Congressional District. And good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Yeah, you heard Mike Johnson there talking about health care reform. I mean, basically what we're talking about is health insurance reform, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of this time wants to talk about. I think if you look at my plan, the MAHA plan addresses not just health insurance reform, but healthcare reform as well. We've got to increase the supply of doctors. As you know, the markets are very simple. It's a supply-demand issue. And what we've done is, on the insurance side, is the demand. So, yes, we need to force people from purchasing or increasing the demand of the insurance that they don't really need, right? So purchasing more than they need. And on the supply side, we can address it by saying, let's get more doctors in the pipeline. Let's make it cheaper for doctors to go through residency schools, open up more slots in residency schools and medical schools, make it easier for patients to get access to many more drugs and not have to get a prescription for all of the drugs that they currently have to get a prescription for. Make it easier for them to go to direct primary care. All of these kind of things would address the supply side.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard, of course, Chuck Schumer wants to hang this all around the necks of Republicans. But what happens next, in your opinion, Eric? I mean, clearly there aren't enough votes in the Senate to get this passed cloture. Do you foresee another government shutdown over it? Do you think there's any chance that Republicans can get enough Democrats to vote for something that's not Obamacare?
I don't. I've thought this long ago. To me, I've come to the conclusion months ago that this is going to have to be done in reconciliation 2.0. So,
okay.
And what happens is, because if otherwise we're going to ask for Democrats to help us pass something, it's going to be a really bad bill.
True.
And most of what we're going to pass, it's going to have Hyde language, meaning no taxpayer dollars can go to abortions. And at that point, you're not going to get a single Democrat to vote for it, so you might as well go through reconciliation. And if you go through reconciliation, now we're talking. Maybe we could do something really meaningful that would be a good, you know, Republican solution to this disastrous Obamacare.
I'm just curious. I heard someone this morning on the show that comes on before us saying, oh, premiums, because of this vote that happened yesterday, premiums are going to skyrocket in the new year.
Well, I've got news for everybody, and even the people, and I feel bad for people whose premiums are going up, but the sad truth is that they are going up whether we take action or not. People's premiums, on average, if you're on the individual market, were expected to go up about 20%. And by the best accounts, if we pass the extended enhanced subsidies, they're only going to reduce your premium from 20 to maybe 17% increase. So you're still getting a massive increase, and we're going to get blamed either way, right? And then in the meantime, we would be throwing $500 trillion after Obamacare, and really be $500 trillion being thrown towards insurance companies.
Wow. So, why still so high? If you pass the subsidies, why would it still be? You said 17%. That is pretty substantial.
Because the way that they work is that you're not giving it to the individual. You're giving it to the insurance company and hoping that they take the money and actually reduce the premiums. And that's not been the case.
Right. No, and they know that it doesn't matter how much they raise the premium because the government will match with the subsidy, correct?
That's right. The government's matching most of it. And so for most people, even with us not passing this year, most people are still getting, you know, their premiums are still zero, which that needs to be corrected because there's a lot of fraud in that process. And actually, the vast majority of people on the exchange have 80% of their premiums subsidized by the federal government, even without the enhanced subsidies. So, it just is not a workable solution, and we've got to move away from it. And that's why my plan, and many other conservatives have a similar plan, which is to give people an off-ramp into a new marketplace that has more affordable products that they can pick from, and then save. Well, if you don't want to spend all your dollars, you can save it and pay directly to the provider.
Yeah. Eric Burleson, Congressman from the 7th District, with us this morning. Congressman, you're going to be heading home for the holiday break here shortly. I've just had this question with Jim Carafano, who we had on a few minutes ago from Heritage. And it's this affordability thing, which we know the Democrats have cooked up this name because they want to make an issue out of this. Right. And we know, you and I know, the people listening here on my show know, Donald Trump didn't raise those prices during Joe Biden's administration. Joe Biden did. And they're not going to come down overnight. But you, what do you say to the people in your district when you go back who've latched onto this idea that somehow this is Donald Trump's fault and he's not doing enough to reduce their expenses?
My response is we have done a lot. We have done some amazing things, particularly with the One Big Beautiful Bill. But I'm also going to agree with people because I've been there. I've been on the sidelines, frustrated with Republicans when they didn't go far enough, and they didn't put everything on the line. And that's why I'm fighting to try to fix this healthcare system. I'm trying to work with folks to figure out how do we make it more easy for people to purchase a home, especially first time home buyers, and get people back into. To where their housing is affordable and their healthcare is affordable, because those are the two top cost drivers. Fuel prices, that's one of the best stories that's going right now. As you know, gasoline is kind of the underwriter for everything that you and I buy, because everything has to be shipped and there's got to be gas burned in order to get it to the shelves and to your doorstep. So the fact that gasoline is, last I checked, Sam's Club had $2.11.
Wow,
$2.11 a gallon. I mean, that's pretty good. I haven't seen that in a long time, and I can only expect it's going to get better from there. But if we can keep gas prices at this rate, that will do a lot to keep the cost of most things down.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Finally, let me ask you about this redistricting issue. Obviously, there's a challenge here in Missouri to what we did. According to Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, they're going to go ahead and institute the new map anyway, but they've still got to go in and count all these out-of-state, people who came in and got signatures on a petition. They're going to handle all that. Big disappointing news out of Indiana, though. I don't know if you have any reaction to what they did there. They had it ready to gain two more Republican seats, and I don't know if they got a bunch of rhinos in their legislature or what, but they voted it down yesterday.
Yeah, and this is every Republican legislature has got one or two complete rhinos. And I mean, there's people that are moderate, and then there's people that are basically working with Democrats to undermine the Republican agenda. And we have one or two of those in Missouri as well, and probably a handful. We have one or two in the Senate, and probably a handful in the House. And it's the job of voters to identify who those people are, those basically wolves in sheep clothing, and to get them out of office. That people have to pay a lot more attention in the primaries as to who is truly a conservative and who isn't.
Yeah, well, I wish there was an easier way to do that. I know at one point some of the Republican committee members at the local district level, the township level, wanted to have a little bit of a litmus test. Like, here, I'm going to send out a questionnaire. Depending on how you answer this, we'll decide on endorsements and who we're pushing. And then, of course, that got a lot of criticism, too. So there are people who don't want to be held accountable, frankly.
Yeah, no, that's right. And they want to slip in and put an R next to their name, even though they stand for basically everything the Democrats do. But it's up to the voters. You've got to do your homework on these people.
Boy, you sure do. Eric Burleson, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Have a great weekend.
Yep. Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate that. I don't know if we'll get him on again before Christmas or not. So we'll just wish him a Merry Christmas and thank him for his time. Kim, what are we talking about on Kim on a Whim?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but there is a very, very popular Christmas song that you've probably listened to with your kids, and apparently it's racist.
Really?
I'll explain when we come back.
Okay.
Get more at 971talk.com.